right, everybody.
Oh, is this not the right one? Is this the one? Okay. I got the right one. Okay. Well, Sister Brown asked me to come and speak, and I'm just really honored to be able to be here today and to be able to share with you the wonderful things that God has done in my life this past year. And I just want to say and start out telling you that you are all overcomers here. In the name of Jesus, you are all overcomers. And we have a right here God. He's not a faraway God. He is right here with us. Sometimes we don't realize it, but he's here to hold our hands. And I just want to testify to the things that he has done in my life to be an encouragement to all of you. So I wanted to tell you that I've had a lot of disappointments in my life. I've had a lot of struggles and life situations that would just want to make you quit living for God. And I had a lot of self-worth problems. I didn't really feel very highly of myself. I didn't really know who I was before I came to the Lord. And even when I was born again, I struggled with who I was and did I really matter to God? I struggled with unforgiveness in my past and just dealt with a whole lot of things that probably you ladies can probably relate to. I didn't know what my purpose was in life. I didn't realize my purpose, and I didn't have a passion to win souls. The thoughts rolled in my mind. What could I do? What could I do for God? This life is too hard. I can't handle this anymore. I'm not good enough. I don't know how to live for God. I don't know how to pray the right way. I'm overweight. No one cares about me. Why would God want to use me? And I have an answer to all these voices in our heads. They're all lies from the enemy. And I want to speak on having faith versus fear, because this is one of the things that has really helped me this past year, is overcoming fear. Once I was able to overcome fear through standing on Scripture and great preaching of the Word, I was able to really experience the deep love of Jesus. Even through the struggles of when I started really seriously living for God, I realized I was putting myself through a lot of unnecessary fear and torment. I was choosing fear over faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I made this realization that when I am walking in fear, I am not being pleasing to God. And it just hit me. It was a very deep revelation. And I realized that fear is a spirit, one that the enemy instills in us and uses against us to keep us from moving to the next level and living for God. So with that said, I wanted to give you a brief history of how the Lord rescued me. I have to praise the Lord because he's done such wonderful things. He's given me wonderful, loving parents. I was adopted back when I was a baby, and I grew. I went to a Catholic church when I was younger. I didn't have a lot of spiritual upbringing, but my parents did think it was necessary for me to go to church. I didn't really understand why I was there. I didn't understand relationship. But as I grew into an adult, in college, I started having, there's people that were placed in my path that, that really started planting seeds in my heart. And I was really thankful for those situations. I found myself in a lot of struggles in college, but I was thankful that I started having Bible studies, and I had the Word of God starting to come into my heart and start convicting me of certain things that I was doing. I believed in God, but I still didn't know or understand anything about a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I knew that I shouldn't sin. But college was a very exploratory time for me. I was in all matter of sexual sin. I drank, I smoked. I was in severe depression and anxiety, and I just felt really empty inside. I tried to be like everybody else, and I didn't know who I was. I was always drawn to the ones that called themselves Christians. even in my short-term relationships or long-term relationships, that's where I found myself, was I was really gravitating towards that, and that was the Lord drawing me closer to Him. As I was going in college, I went back and forth between Catholic and non-denominational churches, but still was still very, very hungry. And praise God, I met my husband in 2002, and we were married later that same year. He still had another 4 months or so before he could move, because we dated long distance, and we went to different colleges. I graduated a year before he did, so he ended up moving to Appleton, and we found a church down our street, and we started going to it. It was a charismatic church, and it was one that believed in the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And we stayed there for a while, but we realized we weren't growing. We weren't really being fed. We didn't understand our purpose. We weren't really feeling that it was very sound teaching. And we ended up leaving that church and started searching for a couple different churches. And we went back and forth between two. And it wasn't until we started going to Christian Life Center in Neenah, Brother and Sister Bridges Church, that we realized that we were home. Brother and Sister Bridges are precious, precious people. I'm just so thankful for them. And they gave us our first home Bible study. And later that year, in November of 2004, I received a baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of my sins. And shortly after that, we moved here to Madison, and that's when we started coming to Calvary Gospel Church, and that was in 2005. We took the New Life classes. We got involved in the care ministry for a while, and then I was asked to do Sunday school, and I was excited about that because I had a real interest in working with children. It was a gift that I really wanted to be used in that way. And I have to be really honest with you. I had a really, really dirty secret. I really appeared to have it all together, but I really, truly lacked a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I was talking the talk and not walking the walk. The Lord started dealing with me with those things. And the first way He started dealing with me was through soul winning. I started having a real strong desire. I started realizing that it needs to be a passion to win souls, because what Mark 16:15 says is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And James 1:22 said, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I was deceiving my own self. I wasn't doing anything. I was listening to the word of God, and I wasn't acting on going out and preaching the gospel. I wasn't sharing the Lord. So I was determined that year to become a soul winner. I bought a book called Go Win Souls from the Pentecostal Publishing House, and I read it many times, and I gleaned a lot of information from it, a lot of great things, but it was time for me to start putting it into practice. I was able to slowly get over fear of rejection, of offending others, and not knowing what to say. And I had the opportunity to share a Bible study called A Place Prepared for You. It was at the end of this book, and that was kind of how it all started. And I learned that I needed to pray purposely every time I went out. Whenever I went out anywhere, I just really needed to be sensitive to the Spirit and what the Lord was calling me to do. But there was one time that I'll never forget when I didn't heed the call of God. And this is not the only time, and there's a lot of missed opportunities, but this one really stands out in my mind. I was at the mall. I was eating lunch with my daughter Olivia, and Abigail was a baby at the time, and I noticed a lady over across the way. She was sitting at a table, and she was drinking a soda. Beside her was a cart, and in her cart contained all of her personal belongings, and she was homeless. She had some change jingling in her hand, and I noticed that, and the Lord started speaking to me. He said, go talk to her. And all I could do was just sit there and argue with the Lord. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? I can't go talk to her. I can't be used this way. This is not something that I can do. And I ended up walking out of there. And I just went to my car, and I realized this could have been the only time that this lady could have heard the gospel. It could have been the only time that I had an opportunity to talk to her. And I wept, and I repented. I was in my car. I just wept the whole way home. I had such a terrible feeling inside. And I prayed, and I asked the Lord, please give me another opportunity. And 2 days later, he did. I was happy to be able to have that opportunity again. And I was at the mall. I had to return some shoes. And I ran into her. And I went up to her, and I introduced myself to her. And I said, my name is Kim. What is yours? And she didn't really answer me. She had her head down. She just kind of about her own business, and she wasn't facing me. And I said, well, how are you doing today? And she kind of talked a little bit about the weather, but she said, you know, I just really don't feel like talking right now. And so I said, okay, well, God bless you. And I left, and I felt really discouraged. I left there, and I said, oh, what did I do? I didn't share the gospel with her. And I felt really discouraged. But the Lord, he spoke to me, and he said, you did what I asked you to do. You went to talk to her. Sometimes it just takes breaking the ice with somebody. Maybe it's maybe I'm starting to make that person more comfortable, and having maybe another person come up and talk to her. And ever since then, I haven't really had the opportunity to talk to her again. I really don't get around that area, but I found myself praying for her for a really long time. And we just have to take those opportunities that we have to go and minister to the people that we know. Our family members, our friends, and I found that I was able to open up and do that more to the families that I cared for. I do childcare in my home, and I was able to minister to them. And they've been really open, and one came to an event that we had here, and that was wonderful. And we had someone that we invited to church across the street from us, and he received the Holy Ghost. And there's still missed opportunities. I have not arrived at soul winning. There's still a lot of work that God wants to do through all of us. And we can never feel like we've really arrived, because God is still continuing to work in us. But getting over the fear, I want to say that 2 Timothy 1:7 says it all. It says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. The power comes from the Holy Ghost to overcome fear through love. And how can we love? How can we learn to love people? The best thing that we can do is pray. We can pray for people. The more we pray for people, the more we love and have a passion for them and have a burden for them. And that's the second way the Lord started dealing with me, was in my prayer life. I wasn't where I needed to be in my prayer life. My heart was hardened a lot. But I was starting to seek his face seriously. I was determined to have a better prayer life. I started praying in the evenings, and then I thought, oh, that's just not good enough. I have to give the Lord the first fruits of my day. And it was really hard for me because I like sleep. It was really hard for me to wake up in the morning. But the more that I woke up in the morning, the earlier I started waking up, and the just had wonderful, wonderful time with the Lord, just intimate time with the Lord and praying. And it started changing my temperament and my attitude. I was more submissive to my husband because I had a tendency to be argumentative, and my mouth a lot of times got me in trouble, and I really had to watch that. I don't know if any of you ladies can relate to that, but it's true. I became more patient with my kids, and I do have a lot of patience, but I found that I wasn't nurturing my children as much as I should have, and I was a lot more critical and unforgiving of their mistakes. And I hate to admit that, but it's true. And the Lord really started convicting my heart of that. And I started moving past that, and I started moving past my own selfish will, and started focusing my eyes on the Lord more, and making sure that his will was being done and not my own. I started forgiving myself more. I had a hard time doing that. I've always been very hard on myself. I'm very self-critical of myself, and I was able to start forgiving myself. But there was something significant that was really missing. I worshiped and I praised the Lord during my prayer. I read the word. I gave thanks to him. I repented of my sins. I prayed intercessory prayer, but there was one thing that I wasn't doing. I wasn't hearing his voice. I wasn't listening to his voice. I wasn't following his lead. And it didn't hit me until ladies' retreat. This past May, I had the wonderful opportunity to go to ladies' retreat for the first time. I was only able to go Friday night into Saturday. I had to work that week. But when I entered the place, it was such a wonderful atmosphere of worship. The worship music was just booming, and the presence of the Lord was just falling in the place. And it was just great to be able to worship. But I still felt like I was holding back myself. And there was a speaker there, and she started talking to all of us about how we as women are too hard on ourselves and need to allow the Lord to love on us. So I realized that all this time and all these years, I've put up a wall between me and God. And the Lord started urging me to let those walls come down. And I went back and forth with him. I said, oh, I don't know. I felt so unworthy. I didn't feel like I was good enough, and I didn't want to allow God into my heart fully because I was afraid of what he was going to do through me. I was afraid. I had fear in my heart. I knew he wanted to use me, as he does all of us, and I was finally able to release that burden and the burdens and the fear, and I was allowed, the walls just came down, and when the walls came down, I was able to finally physically feel that burden drop out of my hands and be able to lift my hands and worship the Lord and give him all of myself. I was listening to him just comforting me and speaking to me and telling me things I've never heard before in my life. And it was just such an amazing experience of the presence of God and the wonderful things that he wants to do. He wants to love us, but he wants us to let him love us. Some other things that the Lord has really been speaking to me about are my ministries. And I've been involved in the children's ministry and the music ministry. I wanted to be a better Sunday school teacher, so I picked up a book by Vicki Oliver called Birthing Your Burden for a Children's Ministry. And I read it. I read it the weekend of my retreat. I couldn't resist. And it really stirred up a passion in my soul. And I really started feeling a burden for children and more than I ever had before, and I realized that I was a mediocre teacher. I wasn't giving my all to the Lord. I wasn't inviting the presence of God into our classroom like I should have. We're so busy doing the lesson and trying to do our little projects that we weren't inviting the presence of God. Even in 2-year-old rooms, we need to allow God to come in. The children will understand in their own way, in their own simple way, because we too ourselves have to come to him as children. So I read the book, and the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night, actually in the morning at 3 a.m., and he started speaking to me. He says, you're in the wrong place. He wanted to move me, and I was shocked. I said, oh, really? he wanted to move me to an older classroom, the kids' ages room with the 6 to the 11-year-olds, and I said, well, okay. I determined, well, I can't run away from the Lord anymore. I have to start acting in obedience to God and what he wants. And so I said, no more running. I had to face up to any fears that I was having, and I wanted to let God use me and move through me. And since I've been in the kids' Regis room, I've been able to experience some wonderful, the wonderful presence of God and how he is moving and working in the lives of these wonderful children. They really have needs, especially the ones that come in the bus ministry. There's a lot of need there. There's sisters that have died. There's grandmothers that are sick, and it's really true pain. And these circumstances can lead these children to the Lord. And it's great to be able to talk to them about the Lord and to explain to them how they can be saved and how they can be rescued from their sin. And it's just been a really wonderful blessing to be a part of that. And I'm just so thankful that God has showed me his direction in that. And also in music ministry. I've always had a passion for music. And I walked away from it for 15 years. I didn't do anything with it. I didn't do it purposefully. And until I really started to feel on my heart, the Lord really starting to urge me to get involved. And I made excuses. I didn't have enough time. I wasn't good enough. All those wonderful lies of the enemy that just kept on going through my mind. And I said, no, I have to do this. And the Lord showed me I had to face up to my fears about being used in front of people, because it doesn't come naturally to me. I'm not one that likes to be in front of a mic. I don't like to be. I'm one that likes to be in the background. And even standing here today, this is a really new experience for me to be able to come and speak to you. But my God knows what He's doing, and He's doing the work in me. It's His message. It's His doing, and He's going to make us into who He wants us to be. So I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea about what they can't do. Because Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So be encouraged. I'm thankful for music leaders that are more concerned about our spiritual growth and our musicianship and our abilities. Although that's important, we have to do our part. But I have found being involved in the music ministry has pushed me out of my comfort zone a lot, and I've been allowed to do things that I wouldn't normally do, and it really gently pushed me out of my comfort zone, and it was a good thing, even though it was hard. It might seem a little insignificant to you, but to me, I've always been shy like that. I just always being not liking to be in the spotlight. So, but in any ministry, I have to say that we have to fill the need. And whatever that be, whatever you're called to do, whatever you're asked to do, I found that we just have to do it. No questions asked, because God knows what He's doing. And our true focus needs to be on Jesus Christ and being transparent to people, to see, so that people can see Jesus in us. Especially as musicians and singers, we have to be transparent so that people can really be led into worship and really feel the presence of God. It almost always takes Christians to move out of their comfort zones for God to really move in and through them. And this is the story that's going to make me cry. but this is the last thing that I wanted to share with you. How God is faithful and He's sovereign, and He delights in the little things. And He orchestrates every part of our life, even if you don't even realize it. He knows our beginning, He knows our middle, He knows our end. And He fills in the missing puzzle pieces of our life one by one. I received a call back in I received a call back at the beginning of September. It was a Thursday. My mother said, sit down, Kim. And I was thinking, who died? I didn't know what she was going to tell me. But there was a lady that was trying to get a hold of me. And she sounded kind. It didn't sound like it was business, you know, like a business call. It sounded like she was really personally trying to find me. And it was, my mom came to find out it was from the adoption agency where I was adopted from. And I told my mom, I said, oh boy, I don't even know if I want to open this can of worms. I don't even know if I want to even act on this. I don't even know what to do. But when I got off the phone with her, what did I do? I instantly called. I had to, because it's always been a wonder. I don't know if anyone here has been adopted and has ever wondered, you know, what happened? Why did my birth mom give me up? Why, you know, what happened? Anyway, I called, and she started, the lady, her name was Linda, and she started telling me that my birth mother wanted to relay some medical information to me, and if I was interested in contact with her, that she would be interested in that too. And I said, well, okay. And she brought up the fact that I sent a letter back in 1995 when I was, how old was I then? I don't know. How old am I now? Oh, I'll be 35 this year, but anyway. I said that I wanted contact with her if there ever was an opportunity. And so I said, okay, you know, we were able to exchange emails, and, I wrote her an email saying who I was and where I was at right now, and that she's my birth mother and I'm her birth daughter. And she wrote me back. It's been ever since then. We've communicated every day. But one of the things that she has told me was what led her to give me up for adoption. She has an amazing testimony, and when I found out from Linda, the lady at the adoption agency, she told me that she was a woman of faith. That kind of sparked an interest in me. Like, hmm. So I got when I was reading the email, she said, I have been praying for you for the past 35 years, and I've always loved you, and that felt like it was such a powerful thing to know that. But she gave me up for adoption because she was 18 years old, and she had followed a pattern that was set for her by her older sisters. Her older sisters got pregnant out of wedlock, and there was not a lot of discipline at home. She wasn't raised in a Christian home. She had a very difficult life. There was a lot of difficult times. Her dad was an alcoholic, and she quit school when she was 16, and she ended up getting pregnant with me. And she, at 5 months pregnant with me, she was so full of despair that she didn't know what else to do but to go to an abortion clinic. As she sat at the table, she told this to me, she sat on the table and a doctor came in to examine her. And the fact that he brought in a sheet full of blood, she just became so fearful, and just, she said she wanted a nurse, and the doctor said, oh, that will cost you more. And she just realized right then and there that she just walked out. And she said, Kim, that is the Lord's protection on your life. None of us are insignificant to the Lord. He preserves our lives for a reason, because he has a purpose for us. And I'm so thankful. She gave me up for adoption. She realized that she couldn't give me a life. And her mother and her mother's live-in boyfriend offered to adopt me. And she was really strongly against that. She started reading some scripture that was shared with her by a woman that was counseling her through crisis pregnancy. And she shared Christ with her. And I'm not really sure what the affiliation was, what denomination it was, but follow, she was introduced to scripture that way. And she knew enough to say no to her mom and said, no, I have hope for this little baby. Hope that our family can't give her, but someone can. And God gave his son for us, mom, and like that, I am giving my daughter to him, and I believe he will take care of her. So God was using a life circumstance, sometimes our lowest points in our lives, to make us turn to him and cry to him, to cry out to him, because he really is our only hope. And for my birth mom, that was a situation. And I was born in November, and in January, she started a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and hasn't stopped since then. We've been communicating, her and I, for a long time, every day, by any means of media, whether it be instant messages or texts or Skyping or whatever. And we've shared a lot of information, a lot of joy. But I found that I never had the heart to call her Kim, because her name is Kim too. God delights in the most little things like that. And living for Jesus Christ, the Lord has really multiplied my ability to love, has opened up my heart. And so that I really feel like I, I have two loving parents. I do, but I have a mom too. And I'm so blessed to know her. And it gives me, her and her husband have been praying for me for the past 35 years that the Lord would show himself to me and that I would have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ someday. And that prayer was answered because of my mom's unceasing prayers. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We have to continue to pray. Thank you, Jesus. I have to share some really little cute things that I just, the Lord just really delights in these things. My birth mom's husband, his name is Marshall. We call him Buck. My mom shared with me something that he said, and it really, really, it just really moved me. He said, "I always knew we had a fourth daughter out there." And that made me just experience the love of Jesus even more so, just knowing that I had another family out there. And him saying this, not being my biological father. And I remember another little thing about a week and a half before all of this transpired. Just in prayer, I was talking to the Lord. I said, "Lord, I really wish I would have had sisters. Now I have three. It's so wonderful. And so I've gotten a chance to get to know them as well. And so he just delights in working out these special details because he's God. He's putting all of these puzzle pieces of our life together. And he is so faithful. And sometimes I feel as though, well, I missed out on all these years of life that I didn't know these people, but God is sovereign and God knows what he's doing and his timing. And his ways are perfect. We don't understand always, but his ways are perfect. So God is faithful. We can't ever stop praying. We have to pray like my mom prayed. My mom prayed for me all the time. And I know that there's probably people that you know, loved ones, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, uncles, aunts, cousins, close friends that don't know the Lord or have walked away from the Lord, walked away from the church. They need prayer. And they need the Lord Jesus so much. And we can't stop praying. We have to pray for opportunity to witness to them and pray that the Lord would bring them to circumstances, even though it's hard to bring them to circumstances, that they have nowhere else to turn but him. As painful as it could be. But they have everything to gain, and we have nothing to lose. So, also, God calls us to love our husbands and our children. It is our first ministry, and knowing all these things that have happened in my life, these wonderful things that God has orchestrated, I know that that's our first ministry. So, in closing, I just wanted to say that the Lord can help us overcome anything. I know there's probably struggles out there, and He can do amazing things, and he transformed me from the inside out. He's made me into a new creature. And if we just submit ourselves to him fully and not hold back any part of us, we can't hold back anything. He can make you into who he wants you to be. We don't have to fear. We have to face it head on. Because we have faith and we can stand on faith. The word says so. We have to have faith because he is faithful, and he wants the best for you, and he wants all of you. And he can put all those missing puzzle pieces in your life together, whatever they may be, because he is God and we are not. So all we have to do, it says in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Thank you, ladies.
Thank you for sharing very personal things in your life, Kim. You know, the Bible says that, or Jesus said that we cry out to the Father. It's the spirit of adoption that cries out to God. Is anybody here, just out of curiosity, Jewish? Really Jewish, from the Hebrew bloodline? All of us are not the chosen people. We're adopted. We were adopted by Jesus when he rent that veil in two and he opened the door to the Gentiles and he adopted us. And it's by the spirit of adoption. And I felt so impressed, and I just shared this with my Sunday school class. I love my high schoolers. They are the most precious young people. If you ever have an opportunity to really get to know them, you will see that really we are a lot like they are. And like Sister Putnam shared, peer pressure. A lot of the same things that I feel, they feel. It's just different. It's just different, and the way that they go through it, the circumstances and the situations. And tonight, what I really encourage you to do is right where you are. It doesn't matter how you got there. It doesn't matter what took place to get you where you are at this moment in your life, in your walk with God. What matters is that right now, right here, is an opportunity where God can come in and take you just as you are. He doesn't care how you got there. It doesn't matter what took place yesterday. It doesn't matter what took place 2 months ago. It doesn't even matter what took place 10 minutes ago. What matters is right now. This is the moment. And I encourage each one of you to step out in faith. And like Peter did, it was his obedience that brought him out of the boat. It wasn't his faith, because he began to sink. But his obedience is what brought him out. And God said, come. Come as you are, right now, at this moment. And as Sister Sarah sings this song, the Lord just impressed the song in my heart. I know it's an old song, but it's a beautiful song. And the lady that wrote the song, she wasn't a Christian at first, but somebody shared their testimony. And she wanted to know that they were sincere and they were real. And just as she was told by the man that witnessed to her, just come as you are. Come as you are.